Welcome to segment two of the 3-Point Stance. Here on segment two, we're going to start out with our top performers of the week, let you know who had the best week in the NFL. After that, we're going to get to our segment.
You killing me, Smalls?
Let you know who's been really hurting you on your team and what you should do about it. And then after that, we're going to get to our segment, Get in My Line
or Ride the Pine. So let's start out top performers, kicking it over to you, Honest Rob. Tell us what happened.
All right. Thanks a lot, Brad. In top performers, starting with QB, we've got Joe Flacco put up 27 points this week. Running back Darren McFadden, 29. Wide receiver Wes Welker for 34. Tight end JerMichael Finley with 26. Kicker Dan Bailey, 21. I said kicker, 21. And the defense top was the Ravens with 20. If we add in a wide receiver Torrey Smith for 34, running back Ryan Matthews for 26, wide receiver Victor Cruz for 23, for a best team total of 240 points. How'd you guys do compared to that?
Horrible. Horrible.
Yeah, that's a rough total to try and live up to. 240 is a lot of points. But if you did it, or if you got even close to that, I guess pat yourself on the back, because you did about as well as anyone can do this week. And just as a note, I mentioned in the first show of the season to start listening for players' names that continue to turn up in this category, the top performers. Tom Brady has been there twice. Wes Welker, with his performance this week, has now been there twice as well.
Yeah.
So those are the only two players to show up multiple times so far. So
keep your eye out for them.
Yeah.
And keep in mind, new listeners to the show this year, that's all standard scoring. So I don't want to get any emails saying, oh, I got 270 points. Keep in mind, those are 4 points per touchdown, guys, for quarterbacks.
Just want to go ahead and lay that out for you guys there.
So no angry emails to Honest Rob about how you scored better than 240, because with standard scoring, it can't be done. Moving on to our segment.
You're killing me, Smalls!
All right, in this segment, we're going to tell you players on your team, players who you probably drafted pretty high, who are just not getting it done on your team. And we're going to have a few options for these players. You could drop them. Most of these players you're not going to drop because they're very, very high draft picks.
Right.
You could just sit them on your bench, the rationale being, you know, they're not startable right now, but they should get better. You can keep starting them, the rationale being they're going to be better in the very, very near future. Or you could look for trade options, the rationale being, you know, this player is not going to get any better and you should try to get what value you can out of them.
What about the distant future? Can we do that? Does that work too? Or?
You can look into your crystal ball all you want, I guess, Brad. But to start things out here on Killing Me Smalls, D'Angelo Williams. Now, this is a guy who wasn't even on my list to start out with, but we started talking about him a little bit once we got in the studio today. 107 total yards on the season, no touchdowns, 8 points.
That's like total points for three games. He has
eight points.
Keelan Williams, the third or fourth string running back. Not sure exactly what he is, but he's not up there for the Lions, has more points than he does.
Yeah.
That's depressing. I'm going to drop him. I don't want anything to do with him. He's that bad to me. So I know you said that most of these players you're not going to drop. I'm going to drop him.
He's the one on the list I think you would consider dropping.
Like, there might be someone in your league that might trade you for him because they had a crush on him or they had success with him at some point or another.
Yeah, 6 years ago.
You know, but I'm not that guy, so I can't really put myself in that mindset. I want nothing to do with him.
There's probably someone in your league who you can get you to trade some value for D'Angelo Williams, and if there is, then do that because it'll get you something for him than just dropping him. But, I mean, you can probably drop him and grab someone who has more points off the waiver wire at this point. So
yeah, definitely.
That's an option as well. Moving on, huge name, went very, very high in the draft, Chris Johnson. Has 189 total yards in the season, no touchdowns, 17 points.
Yeah. Training camp does help, doesn't it, Mr. Johnson?
I just want to interject here. Chris Johnson's average draft position was 5.25. That's not fifth round. That's 5.25 overall. So he's a first round in just about everybody's league. So thanks.
Yeah, I was in a league where he went first, so how's that number one pick working out for you?
You know, so I think people are starting to realize the importance of training camps. You know? I mean, I still think that he was going to have a productive year. I still think that he has the chance to. I'm going to keep him on my bench, you know. And I might even be starting him. I don't know if you have better options right now. You might. You know, at least he'll get you some points, though.
I think you've got better options to start, probably, or at least I would hope you do, because, I mean, 17 points in three games is not exactly a real hard total to beat. But I don't think he's going to get much better throughout this. He'll do better than this because it'd be hard not to.
Yeah.
But, I mean, honestly, I think I'd probably trade him, try to see what you can get for him.
And I would, you know, to trade, you have to have someone that's worth that people are willing to take a chance on. So he has the skills that there are people that would take a chance on him in your league, you mm-hmm. know. So I'm going to keep him, and I'm going to think that eventually he's going to knock off the rust of the offseason and have, you know, maybe not as good a season as he had last year, but still have a pretty good season.
How about you, Honest Rob? You got an opinion on this?
Yeah, with Johnson, I don't know. I mean, it's really difficult to say because a guy like Brad was just saying, he's got all this talent, and fantasy football is all about upside and risk. And I would almost rather play poorly if I had to choose to play poorly for a half of the season. I'd rather play poorly at the beginning and come on strong at the end and play well in the playoffs. However, sometimes you just want to jump ship and say, look, you're not a productive member of my team. Get off my team. One of the benefits here with Johnson, as opposed to somebody like D'Angelo, is that Johnson has the ability to trade. Because we just talked about upside and risk, you can always trade to somebody who says, I'm willing to take that risk to get that upside. You know what I mean? So
here's one of the things, though. This is the type of thing where real football does interfere with fantasy football. Because the realism in all this is that there... the offseason wasn't what it usually is because of the lockout. So a lot of these players, you know, they're getting back into the swing of things. They might have a new coach, you know, new teammates. I think that in the later in the season, a lot of these players you're going to see come on like you expected. I think, though, the lockout had a major effect on all people. And it's kind of being, you know, we expected these people to take these months off of not being able to work out, not being able to see the playbook, not being able to practice together. And then we're expecting in the first 3 weeks for them to come out and look like they did, you know, in the middle or the end of last year. I don't think that's really realistic. So I think that some of these players, you do need to kind of cut them some slack at the beginning of the year and realize that, you know, just because they're looking bad now, it might not be, you know, they lost it. They don't have it anymore.
Well, that's why we didn't do this segment necessarily after week one. I think you've seen some players do really well, and these players aren't getting it done, you know, so got to do something with them anyway. Moving on our list is Rashard Mendenhall, who only has 169 total yards, does have a touchdown, but 18 points on the season. Brad, what are you doing with him?
I think you got to keep him, you know, probably for where he took him, you know, and they've had some tough games recently. So, you know, kind of hope that you know, they get, and Roethlisberger has looked pretty bad himself. So you kind of just hope that they kind of right the ship here, and the Steelers usually do.
Yeah, Steelers, you have that faith in them that they'll turn it around. You know, I think Mendenhall should turn it around. He had one good week anyway.
Yeah.
I think he'll turn it around, and you gotta sort of hold on to him. But at this time, maybe set him on the bench, you know, for now.
Yeah.
But definitely don't get rid of him.
I think something to be said on Mendenhall, too, is that just this last performance, the Colts, who are generally a team who defends the pass well based on Freeney and Mathis, and you can generally run on. We've seen other teams run on them pretty well for the past several years. Mm-hmm. And just about every time Mendenhall had the ball, he was just down.
Yeah.
He was able to get nothing going. Mm-hmm. So, but I tend to agree that you got to keep him and ride this one out.
The Indianapolis Colts defense just looked fast against him.
They
were everywhere
they
was.
They really did.
Our next player on the list is Frank Gore, has 184 yards on the season, one touchdown, 19 points. So 1 point better than Mendenhall anyway. But again, you know, the injury potential is there with him. You already saw it with the ankle. What are you doing with him?
Once again, I think this is a player you have to keep. I think, you know, watch him for the next couple weeks, see what happens, and then kind of make your decision from there. But I think that he's the type of player that you can't just let go, you know, for probably where you took him in the draft. And he does have a lot of upside being able to receive the ball. And I think that with a new coach there, I think they're kind of trying to work out those kinks right now for the first couple games. And I think probably by midseason, they'll be flowing a lot better.
For me, I think he's a trade. And maybe not this week because he didn't have that good of a week this week. I'd wait till he had a decent week and then trade him as soon as you could there because that's going to be his high point. But, I don't think Frank Gore is somebody I need to hold on to for the whole season anyway. Our next player on the list, our last running back anyway, is going to be Sean Green. He has 194 yards and a touchdown for 21 points. So better than the other people on this list, but still, you know, 21 points over three games is not a number one running back.
No, I'm trading him. I think that there's Plenty of people in the league that would take a shot on someone like that.
Mm-hmm.
The Jets seem to have those followers that are just diehard Jet fans. You don't kind of meet a Jet fan that's just kind of, whatever.
They're all right.
You know, they love the Jets. Yeah. So someone's going to take a chance on him. It's just, to me, this is last season all over again.
Mm-hmm.
He looks the same way. You know, it was, he's going to be the main guy, you know, and then Tomlinson just comes out and looks better.
Yeah.
So when you have someone on the bench that looks better, yes, he's the workhorse, but you're not doing a lot with the carries that they're giving you.
Yeah.
So I'm not buying it.
I agree with you. The only time I wouldn't agree with you, I guess, is if you have a very, very, very big bench. Like if you have, you know, just roster space to spare, I'd say maybe stash him at the bottom of your bench. Because I think in the later part of the season, LT is going to wear down a little bit and Sean Green will get some more work.
Yeah.
But for right now, he's definitely unstartable. And I'd say, you know, trade him for whatever you can right now if you need the roster space.
Yeah.
Moving on to our wide receivers, first name up is Hakeem Nicks. Only has 185 yards and one touchdown for 23 points. And a lot of people were drafting this guy as a top five wide receiver.
I'm holding on to him. I got hope. I think he's going to come out and do his thing.
Even
that
with
guy,
Eli throwing
that
to
guy
him,
is
huh?
just a beast. I'm sorry. He is a beast. So, yeah, I'm holding on to him.
He's a very talented wide receiver, I'll give you that. But with Eli throwing to him, I don't believe in him this season. I'd say trade him. Yeah, Honest Rob, you got a tiebreaker here?
I'm going to go with trade him also. You are right. He, overall, based on FF Toolbox anyway, he came out, he was fifth ranked overall as far as average draft positions go for all, you know, all the drafts that they rank. But I was not a believer in Knicks, especially with Eli Manning. Right now I'm having a hard time believing in the NFC East at all. It's at least the receiving core is in the NFC East. So that remains to be seen, I guess. But I'm going to go with trade him.
Well, you guys can trade him to me. I'll take him.
All of our listeners, Brad is open to trades for Hakeem Nicks, so let him know. Our next wide receiver on the list is Roddy White, who is the best player in all of Killing Me Smalls, but still 224 yards and a touchdown, 28 points. You know, this guy went as probably the number two wide receiver in the draft.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, averaging you about, what, 8 points a week? 9 points a week?
Yeah, not what he's here because he's not giving you what you expected.
Yeah.
I think you got to go ahead and hang on to him, though. You know, I think he's going to shake it off. I think Atlanta Falcons at this point, they're kind of figuring out their identity a little bit. They've kind of just looked out of sync,
mm-hmm.
and I have to kind of assume that they're going to go ahead and kind of pull it together here.
Yeah, I agree. I think Roddy White, you keep on your team anyway, and I say continue to start him, actually. I think he's going to pull out of this pretty quick. Our next wide receiver is DeSean Jackson, has 156 yards in the season, one touchdown, 21 points. Again, just not what you expected out of him.
Man, you can't get rid of these, man. I mean, come on, man. I mean, that's DeSean Jackson. What we've talked about all the time in fantasy is what you're starting is upside. This guy has tremendous upside.
Oh, absolutely.
If not only just he had the most yards after catch out of any wide receiver last year, and then also you look at the fact that he returns kicks and punts. I mean, it's just, the dude is arguably the fastest player in the NFL. You can't sit someone like that, and you can't trade or drop someone like that. You got to keep him on your team and have faith that he's going to step it up. That's what I'm doing.
For me, he's a trade. I mean, I don't believe Michael Vick is going to stay in the whole season. I think with Kafka or possibly Vince Young throwing it to him, he's not going to be great.
You're not believing in Vince Young?
No.
Not the Vince Young hype?
No. So for me, he's a trade anyway. Honest Rob, you got a tiebreaker on that one?
I'm going to go with keep. Maybe it's just because I'm an Eagles believer, but this guy is amazing. The fireworks are everywhere. I will have to say, though, I agree. Kafka right now, he's played in a couple of games, and he's really only 11 for 16 for 107 yards and two interceptions, no TDs. So right now, Kafka, just to point out, you know, it always depends on a quarterback's doing, how well the receivers do. And Kafka's at -1 overall.
Well, here's what I'm going to say. A little bit of a tangent. But with him, I've seen him before at Northwestern, you know, when he played college. He's more of a West Coast-style quarterback. And the way the Eagles run it, I think it's more downfield with Vic. He's got a big arm. I think what they're going to have to do, if Vic's actually going to be out for an extended amount of time, they're going to have to kind of retool that offense to fit what he does. And I don't know if Vic is going to be out for an extended period of time where they would actually be able to do that. But I think Andy Reid is a smart enough guy where they would be able to if they had to.
Am I kind of an anti-Eagles fan for saying that don't we wish we had McNabb back? At least he can throw it down the field.
You and you and the Vikings fans might have a debate about that one.
Wow.
All right.
Big shock that Honest Rob wants to hold on to the ego, right? all right, our last player in You're Killing Me Smalls is going to be Dwayne Bowe. Has 197 yards on the season, one touchdown, 24 points.
Trade. I'm off. I wasn't even on the bandwagon, but now I'm just kind of just throwing rocks.
You're
at the
not
bandwagon.
A Matt Castle believer.
No, just jump on. If you have anyone from Kansas City, jump ship now.
I'm with you on that. Kansas City is a train wreck, and I think any player you have on there, if you can pull any type of value in a trade, go ahead and do it because that ship is sinking fast.
Jump ship.
All right, moving on to the 3-point stance. We're gonna get to our segment. Get in my line
or ride the pine. I'm gonna give you guys two players. You're gonna let me know who you're taking out of these two. First one, we're going to go running backs, Javid Best or Chris Johnson. Who you taking?
I'm going to take Javid Best. I've made no secret of the fact that I do not believe in Chris Johnson this year. And the way he's playing right now, it's just not good. I think Javid Best has a better game.
Yeah, I got to go with Best. I mean, the guy takes a lot of negative yardage. But I also got to say, I mean, some ways he's able to bounce off some of those hits and avoid the contact. I mean, the guy can really put up the points.
All right, let's go quarterback next. Kevin Cobb or Matt Hasselbeck?
I think I'm going to go with Kevin Cobb there. You know, Matt Hasselbeck just lost one of his main weapons. So I'm going to go Cobb.
I got to almost agree exactly with Jason. I think Kevin Cobb still got Larry Fitzgerald. Hasselbeck at the chance of getting hurt, and also he just lost a major weapon.
All right, so let's do some wide receivers that kind of came out of nowhere. David Nelson or Eric Decker?
I think I'm going to go with David Nelson in that one just because I like Fitzpatrick, and I think he's going to do better.
The risk is sounding just like Jason. Fitzpatrick is great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I got to agree.
Okay, we'll stay on that. We're going to do quarterbacks, Matt Stafford or Ryan Fitzpatrick.
I think I'm going to go with Stafford. You know, throwing to Calvin Johnson, you can't beat that.
I want to say Stafford, but they really love Fitzpatrick in Buffalo.
So you love him too.
Well, I mean, the guy's putting up the numbers. There's no question.
All right, well, we'll stay on that same wavelength then with the tight ends. We'll go Scott Chandler or Brandon Pettigrew.
This is an interesting one because they're two completely different styles of tight end. One, mm-hmm. you know, Pettigrew catches for a lot of yards, not so many touchdowns.
A lot of receptions.
Yeah, and then Chandler is basically just touchdowns, no receptions.
Mm-hmm.
I tend to believe that Ryan Fitzpatrick is still going to look for Chandler in the end zone, so I think I'm going to go for him over Pettigrew.
See, almost an exact difference here. I got to go with Pettigrew. He's not in the end zone yet, but if he keeps putting up 10 reception games and gets in the end zone, he's going to be putting up wide receiver numbers.
Yeah, I have to think that Pettigrew is going to get in the end zone soon here. We're going to do one more for running backs. Ryan Matthews, Ahmad Bradshaw, who you taking?
Well, you know where I stand. I'm a big Matthews believer, so I'm going Matthews. He had a great week last week. If they continue to give him the goal line looks, he's going to be a top 10 back the rest of the year.
Yeah, I got to go with Matthews. I just don't believe in the Giants at all.
Okay.
That's plain and simple.
Last one here, wide receivers, Nate Washington, Sidney Rice. Who are you taking?
This is a tough one for me. I think I'm going to go with Sidney Rice just because throughout the history of these two, I think Sidney Rice has more talent, and they're both sort of coming into that number one wide receiver role. So,
I think that Rice might have a little bit more talent, but Washington is here and now, and he's there. You know, Rice has been hurt a few times, and I got to go with Washington.
All right, we always like to do a segment of shout-outs before we close out the show. So shout-outs this week, I'm going to go Calvin Johnson just because he looked like a beast this week. I definitely love what the Lions are doing. That comeback victory and that catch that he made in overtime was just one of the best catches I've ever seen. So shout-outs to Megatron, man.
I'm going to go with kind of sticking with the local team theme here, sticking with Detroit. I'm going to actually go with Jim Schwartz. Done a phenomenal job as the Lions head coach. He took a team that was 0-16, 2 wins in 2009, 6 wins in 2010, 3-0 right now. I mean, culture has changed in Detroit. So here's to Jim Schwartz.
A lot of love for the Lions right now. I like it. I'm going to keep it all NFC North. Mine's going to go to JerMichael Finley. You know, no touchdowns the first 2 weeks, 3 touchdowns this week. Finally, JerMichael Finley. Thank you.
All right, that's going to do it for us here on the 3-Point Stance. I'm Brad.
I'm Honest Rob with Stats.
And I'm Jason. Everybody remember, keep those emails rolling in. We can answer your roster questions, your trade questions, your pickup questions, anything you got for us. So email us at the3pointstance@gmail.com. And that is the number 3, not the word 3. And everybody remember to keep your fantasy on the field.